Next hour.
Okay, so welcome back. This is T-Touch for You Online, our immersion program, and this is our sixth day, and this is hour two. Welcome back.
So what we're going to have the pleasure in this hour is hearing from Eleanor Silverstein. And the fact that Eleanor started with me in 1979 with a 7-week horse course, did a couple of them, as a young budding Feldenkrais practitioner, just in her first trainings with Moshe Feldenkrais, and who sent her to me, actually introduced her to me. And all these years we have been working together. And Eleanor took that work that we did and integrated it over the years into her Feldenkrais practice, and has made such a difference, because being able to give parents, mothers, or people practices, simple practices they can do between the Feldenkrais lessons. And this is one of the things, for those of you who are healthcare professionals, integrating, whether it's into massage therapy or any of the therapies that you do, being able to integrate this into your work has really made a difference to many people. So, Miss Eleanor, I want you to tell a couple of the really remarkable cases that you had where people were given no hope. And that's something I want to point out to you. When I've had people tell me, a number of people, that, you know, they have parts of their body that the doctors told them there was no hope for it ever again. We have a different experience, actually. So if you could tell us that and story,
I have so many stories. So I think I'll tell you, you know, some people have heard about Brandon, but I think I would love to start with Dylan. And Dylan came to me in my practice with severe cerebral palsy, not a moderate case of cerebral palsy, but quite severe. And he started having severe grand mal seizures. And he was so used to this very gentle way of touching. And so I really incorporate the T-Touch philosophy in with my Feldenkrais practice, along with the way of doing the T-touches, and especially the idea of how simple we can make it to teach parents. Because if I can teach the parents in one lesson, in one session with them, they can go home and utilize this with their children or their loved one immediately for 24/7 around the clock, looking like nothing, like just simple touch. And I want to back that up into, there was a time, because I worked in hospitals working with people, and I was invited to come to a hospital, and I watched the loved one sitting next to their loved one, and they just sat next to the edge of the bed and they went like this. And
rubbing, for those on the phone, rubbing up and down the arm.
Right. And by the way, I now remember, that was actually my husband with his own mother. And I remembered looking at him and I go, oh my God, if that was me, I would wake up out of the coma and slap you. You know, that's annoying. You know, it was just a constant, but I realized, poor guy, he didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And when I went from hospital to hospital, this is the thing I saw people do. They sat next to the bed of their loved one and they just rubbed the forearm, if they did anything. And, you know, when a person's not conscious or looking conscious, they're still feeling and sensing touch. So that was my goal, was to teach people in hospitals, teach the family members of loved ones literally how to do the circle and a quarter touches to outline the arm, so they could still stay at the safe place of the arm. And they did this around the arm, but I had them do this around themselves first. And everybody in the room had such magnificent responses. They now knew what it felt like to do circle and a quarter outlining touches all the way around the forearm, around each finger, around the inside edges, all the way around the fingers, around the thumb, and up the forearm again. And so if that wasn't enough, I was going to really give it to them. I had them do these circle and a quarter touches on one half of the face. And they felt such a difference. They're sighing, they're breathing, the size of their eye that was touched, the size of their cheek, the uplifting of the face. And immediately that night, at the end of teaching these classes, people would run to their loved one who's in a hospital room and do this. And then come back at the end and say, oh my God, they went, the person who was told was not conscious. The wincing.
I mean, supposedly unconscious person would have that deep breathing.
Deep breathing and sigh of relief and going from a grimace to an expression of pleasure and even being able to grin. And that's where we really took off with this. And so now, to sidetrack into the time when Dylan was brought to me, then he started having the grand mal seizures. And one day he was being hospitalized for 2 weeks at a time. And one day he was lying on my table and I'm working with him and I had my hand somewhere along his belly and chest, one hand on his chest and one hand on his belly. And all of a sudden his mother starts to go, Dylan, Dylan, Dylan. And then she's like gently blowing on his face. So I look up and I go, what are you doing? She goes, this is the beginning. He's starting to have a seizure. And I said, oh, how can you tell? Well, he starts to make a flicker in his eyes and then the eyes start to go off to the corner and then the head starts to go. And then he goes into a grand mal seizure. And so I thought to myself, Linda, wow, I had felt something happening in the belly. So you know how yesterday you had us doing the touch, which I like to call the heart hug, along the belly.
Yeah.
And talking into the cells, into the bacteria side. So hold on, I'm going to see somebody has there. I'm going to meet someone. There we go. And they're crinkling their paper. And so I started to do the circle touches, but with part of it was with the baby leopard, with the pads of my fingers, but the other parts were more with the whole palm of my hand, giving the feedback. And
like the abalone on the
like the abalone. One hand on the chest and the other hand on the belly. And so the abalone of the hand, but using the baby leopard with also the pads. So I was kind of doing three touches at the same time. Yeah, really. You have to go in full guns on this one. And so the seizure stopped. The seizure stopped. It never progressed past the starting of the eyes and the body starting to go over. Now, mind you, you want to know what? You know what I felt about 30 seconds, 25 seconds, 30 seconds before mom even saw the first signs? I felt electrical conduction happening from the belly up to the chest. And it
wow.
felt like this.
Wow.
And I was going, I thought, first of all, I thought, oh, wow, there's something wrong with my hands. That was the first thing. So I would take my hands away and go, okay, I don't feel it in my hands. Put my hands back. And my right hand, maybe it's more the receiving hand. I felt it more in my right hand. And I felt it more even in the ball of my right hand. And I kept thinking, oh, maybe I have a pinched nerve because I'm feeling this going through my hand. I'm thinking it's me because I had never felt this before. So I'm going, oh God, Eleanor, la, you know, But what I realized when all was said and done, you know what that was? That was his vagal nerve fritzing from the belly up to the brain. And that's what was causing his undiagnosable idiopathic, no reason for understanding grand mal seizures, in which he was being hospitalized for 2 weeks to 30 days at a time.
God.
Because they had checked all the brain scans, they had done the EEGs, they couldn't find where it was starting in the brain. Because the answer was, it was never starting in the brain, it was starting in his belly. So I taught mom how to do this. We have it all on film somewhere, where I taught mom how to do this. She did this with him every day as soon as he would start. Then she did this when it wouldn't start. Then she did this just to do this with these circle and a quarter touches, one hand on the chest because the vagal nerve is so deeply innervated into the heart, and the abalone on the belly with a baby leopard, pads of the fingers to do circle and a quarter and lift. And then letting it slide down.
And I'm doing it on myself, and I suggest you all do it actually yourselves as Eleanor's talking about it. I'm doing one hand on my whole belly with a lift and the pads both, you know, and on my chest at the same time. So if you're on the phone, or you can just do this, because it's really a valuable feeling. We don't do that, do we? We don't give our whole abdominal area any attention, and certainly not in connection, not anyway, and not in connection with the heart. And maybe we'd get a different relationship, not just the bacteria we talked to yesterday, but
the whole
beautiful connection.
It's a beautiful connection of the whole nervous system connecting together. The central nervous system of the brain and the enteric nervous system of the belly is all one. And this kind of touching connects the two. And you want to know what? The lighter the touch, the deeper the connection happens. And in Dylan's case, he never had another seizure again.
Holy mackerel.
He was never hospitalized again. He was on 11 different seizure medications.
God.
He was taken off by his neurologist every medication but one, just for good luck. So they kept him on one just because, but they got him off of 10 of the seizure medications. He didn't need anything anymore. All because of this, in this gentle way. And they were amazed, and mom had the gift.
And in that easy way of teaching. And I think that's really... also, for those of you who were doing that, started to do the touches, if your hand gets tired, which mine actually did doing for some reason, well, I was doing lifts with it also. And so if you're doing the lifts and your arm gets tired, you can turn your hand, just try this, Eleanor, you can turn your hand sideways and use the side of the thumb, and it's the muscles that we're using in the shoulder is different. So, and I can
change your walk. Camera.
What?
We can't see your bottom hand.
Yeah, I don't know if you can actually get to see it. So yeah. I was just turning, instead of using, you know, the abalone like this, I turned my hand, and it was just easier to use. Just, and I love that you're telling this, and we can do this, Eleanor, as you're talking. We can be doing some of these things.
Absolutely. Please do, because I will tell you more. And as I'm sharing with you more stories of what I am doing with people, please, as you're sitting here, do this for yourself. Feel the difference. It's so amazing to make it real time. You know, I want to share with you, by the way, Linda got to meet Dylan and his mom once when she came here for something, and it was, oh, what a gift. I want to share with you a picture of Brandon. So let's see if I can do this. So for those of you who are on, you can see, and for those of you who are on your telephones, you'll get to see it later. And here's a picture of me working with Brandon. This was a really big situation that happened here in Disneyland. He was a beautiful, healthy four-year-old that was badly brain injured at an amusement park here in California. And so he was oxygen deprived for 18 solid minutes. And so in Brandon's situation, God bless his angelic heart and his parents, in Brandon's situation, the neurologist said that every brain cell was going to die, and this child will never be able to receive love or give love or experience anything ever again. And so when I came in, Brandon was put on a respirator in pediatric intensive care in the hospital. I came in on day 4 after the accident. And so he was on a respirator. And I don't know if you can see it in this picture, but he's breathing in and out of his mouth. And all I did with a circle and a quarter touches around the mouth while he was on this respirator. So if you can see me, so literally I outlined around the lips. I don't touch the lips, but I outlined the musculature. In other words, the ancient sphincters around the lips, around the mouth. And I did quarter of a circle and a quarter. I taught the parents how to do this, and I taught the nursing staff how to do this. But the best part was, in the first day that I was doing this with him, not in the first day, in the first time I was doing the circle and a quarter around his mouth, I heard from behind me a male voice go, hmm. And I turned around, and there's a man, you know, with small wire rim glasses and a big white lab coat standing there. And I go, hmm, what? And he goes, hmm. For a moment, I thought I was going to have to tell you, take your hands off of him. What are you doing? And then I looked at the machine and watched him sprint off the respirator.
Explain that, because it's not clear what you just said.
Exactly. He started overriding the breathing machine and started breathing on his own.
Wow.
That doesn't happen with that level of brain injury. And that actually just doesn't happen. And I asked him, I go, who are you? And he said, hi, you know, my name is Dr. Mahonen. I'm a chief of pediatric neurosurgery at the hospital. And he goes, he asked me, what are you doing? And in the circle and a quarter touches, his blood pressure came down from 240, because the brain injury is so bad, blood pressure was off, everything was off. His heart rate went from 180 back down to 80. And he started breathing on his own. Within 2 months, the respirator was taken out, and he breathed on his own the rest of his life. Now, I want to tell you the side effect of working with him in this way. We did circle and a quarter, outlining every arm, every limb, his arms, his legs, his fingers, his toes. And the idea to draw back the image of his body back to his brain. Because when there is severe oxygen deprivation, the cells that are deprived of oxygen are the deepest cells inside the deepest part of the brain. And when they die, they open up and they exude their toxin, or their cell structure, which then kills the other cells, which kills the other cells. You want to know what? I had this thinking that maybe we could stop the death of the cells. and he wouldn't be any more damaged than what happened in the very first couple days. And Linda, that's what happened. This little boy was not blind. He could see. He couldn't see well, but he could see, he could hear, he could receive love and give big open mouth juicy kisses. He had strong opinions about the music that was played in his room. He could bring his hands to his mouth and he could tell you if he liked something or didn't like something. So here, yes, he was deprived of oxygen and he was brain injured, but he wasn't left with no capabilities. He was given the gift of being able to still be the best that he could be. And this was a child who could let you know what he wanted. Mm. He could let you know when he needed to poop and pee. He could let you know he was hungry, that he liked a certain food, didn't like a certain food, liked the music, didn't like the music.
Incredible.
Very incredible. Yeah. So I think I have...
Can you talk about the laser touches? Because I didn't have a chance to bring those in. Your laser with the sponge on him, and you can guide us, and we'll do them?
Yes. Okay. So with the laser touches, I did more the laser touches with Dylan, with the nervous system also. So with Dylan, I also went around the sphincters, but I went around and did the laser touches around the muscles of the eyes, nostrils, mouth, and then arms. So I started in the most ancient part of the bodies that I could get to revivify, to rev up the oldest part of the nervous system. And then be able to get to it, the image of the body, and then being able to create the movement. So with the laser touch, for instance, if I did the laser touch around the arm, it would be that we go in circle and a quarter, and then, I would go in a quarter of a circle and sponge in. And then that light release of the sponge and stay there and then move up, circle, sponge in, stay with it, and then slowly release it. And I know that it's hard to see. I can see you looking a little deeper. So do you see, look how light. Can you see how light that sponge is? You see my arm is, for those who've got the video, you can see that. So it's a quarter of a circle in, sponge in, stay with it. As I'm breathing, it's a slight releasing. And you know how Linda, she does the spiral up, but in here, I feel like I'm getting into the DNA in the cells. And when there is a severe injury, it's waking up the DNA in the cells. It's waking up the DNA in the cells. And in the case of an injury where collagen fibers have been injured, collagen fibers are made up of triple helix DNA. Triple helix DNA, that's pretty potent. That allows us to make ligaments strong, tendons strong. But scar tissue can be that strong, and we don't necessarily need the scar tissue everywhere. Anybody who's felt the scar tissue on a hand from a bite from a dog and it gathers up itself or something, we can touch this lightly, that laser into it, so it's a quarter of a circle. Laser in, sponge in, and then gently sponge it back out. And in that gentle touch, we're talking into that triple helix, and we tell it to do its best job that it does. That means that we can unlink that we talked about yesterday, unlink those collagen fibers that are making scar tissue that's holding and binding too much. In other words, the DNA does its best job. We don't have to tell it what to do. It does its best job. So in the places it doesn't need to be, it unlinks itself, like somebody said yesterday, melting. Now, if it's okay, I would like to show you a beautiful little girl that I worked with. Oh, where are you? One sec. Okay, let's see if I can do this. Share. This is a little girl in upstate New York that I worked with last January, I think. This is Tatum. And Tatum was in a really, really, really bad car accident and very badly brain damaged. And Tatum couldn't bring her hands to her mouth. You can see, hold on, let me move this. You can see that Tatum can't, her hands are spastic. They said she can't see, but clearly she does. She can't get the message across of what she would like to share. So here I'm just greeting her. I love it that I'm having mommy hold her. And let's see if I can get to the next picture. Whoops, hold on. So here I am listening to her nervous system in her belly. And with, you can see, it's, Linda, would you call this the abalone touch?
Yeah. Well, okay. The thing is, it's, you know, we, I haven't brought this up in this class and I rarely do, but it's a abalone, it's a lying abalone because
yes.
It's,
thank you.
The palm of the hand, and you're actually differentiating with the fingers, the
yes.
Pads of the fingers. It's
yes.
I call it the lying abalone because it's a combination.
Yes, thank you.
It's a natural thing to do.
Well, and you want to know what? As soon as I did this, you already see her right arm went down. She's right-handed, so she's even more spastic in the right arm, and so. In a little bit, the left arm went down just by doing the lying abalone.
Beautiful.
On the belly, because taking into account, I love anatomy physiology, taking into account the vagal nerve branches, and we can talk about that sometime, but these very important branches of the vagus nerve that go from the brain and go all the way deep into the belly. So by using this kind of touch, lying abalone, and a little bit of the fingers, very little, very, very little. Her whole system went, and the left leg drops down. And so now here, you can see she's struggling. You can see she's really struggling.
For those on the phone, she's on lying flat on the Feldenkrais table with her head turned to the side and really...
And she's craning her head,
yeah.
and she's making sounds of, ah, she's not miserable. She's not unhappy. She's just working so hard to try to do what she's wanting to do. So I want to make it easier. I want her to get to feel that coordination. So my hands, she's lying on her belly and my left hand is under her left front side, around the pelvic area, around the left hip, in the front side of the left hip. And that's really where there's strong hip flexors. People get tired there and they get backaches there. And you can, if you can see, she's extends her back, you know, into fight and flight. And so I'm trying to approach the fight and flight and spasticity from the front side, because why go to the direct area? I'm going to go indirect. So you can see, the more I work with her, she's now going into what we call the airplane pose. Her whole body is, the legs are in the air, her head is arched up, but her expression has changed on her face and it's starting to change. So it's not looking like it's straining so much, but it's starting to change. But her left arm, even though her left head is turned to her left arm is still down by her left hip. I would like to get her to feel her own coordination through this touch. So you can see I'm using the pads of my fingers on my right hand to outline the edges of her spine. That's all. I am outlining the edges of her spine along those muscles along the right side and the left side of the spine, and to show, look, you're hyperextending, you're firing these muscles off. You have choices. Now I want you to see what happens in the next picture. If you can see, the expression on her face has now changed. It is an expression of paying attention. She now has an expression on her face of awareness. She's not struggling. She's not straining. Her left arm is still down, but it's not tight.
So are you still doing the circles along her side, her right side?
So I now am supporting the front side of her left hip and her right hip and the pads of my fingers. So the thumbs are wrapped around the back of her thighs and my finger pads are on the hip flexors as I'm doing little circle and a quarters with the pads of my fingers on the front side, talking to those muscles that are really tight. Now, this next picture is she's lying on her back, making beautiful eye contact in my face. And anyone that knows me, I tend to be high-pitched and very excited. And so we're totally connecting. She's making an expression on her mouth of ooh, instead of craning her head, and she's opening her hands, because I had also finished teaching mom the circle and a quarter, outlining her arms. So she's now starting to bring the fingers of her right hand to her face. And if there's any gift you can give somebody who has been really, really injured, is that they can bring their hands to their face, because they can then start to feed themselves.
So this is really beautiful, Eleanor. And what happened to her in the end?
Okay, so I think there might be. See, she turns her head, she's touching her face and still keeping eye contact. And now look how soft, oh, you can see, if you can see the video later or now, the pictures, both her hands are very soft. She's touching herself, Linda. Her arms are not in irrelevant places in the universe. She's touching herself.
Yeah, huge deal. Really
that
beautiful.
That is a huge deal. Yeah. And now, if you can see, she's on her belly. Both of her arms are underneath her. She's propping herself up.
Wow.
That's huge.
The start of crawling.
And when your arms go flying in the air, but now her arms are underneath her, lined up underneath her.
Yeah.
And now this is me having her crawl to her mommy.
Oh.
What more deep meaningful to have mommy there at the table and crawling to her mommy.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And this is now here I'm teaching mom. I'll go through these really quick. Teaching mom how to work with her daughter. And showing mom the palms of my hands. And you can see mom, because mom didn't quite have the touch. Who would? And quite down pat. So I'm teaching her the different parts of the bottom of my hand and how I'm touching her. And that's it. And that's mommy snuggling baby.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. And what I would like you to do is, first of all, there's a question here, and that is, why only a quarter of a circle? And I'm interested to hear your answer. I think I know the answer, but what's your answer?
Well, first of all, it started with that my hand is drawn in. For years, it's drawn in a quarter of a circle. If I do circle and a quarter, it's because I'm doing. Because I say to myself, I have an idea. I would like to do this. But when my hand goes a quarter of a circle, it's because her body, the person's body, invites me in a chord of a circle. And I realize when I ask why, it's because it says that's the spiral of the DNA. That's going, inviting into the spiral in the DNA. And then that invitation is that chord of a circle. It doesn't go more than that. And there's something different that changes in the person. The circle and a quarter I use for everything to draw the image back.
Right? Interesting.
Yeah. So, and that drawing the image, we constantly need to be reminded our image of ourself.
And what that's doing in the quarter, circle and a quarter, is engaging the whole brain in the process. And in the quarter circle, you don't engage the brain. And one of the reasons it's interesting, like if I'm working on a newborn, I don't do a circle and a quarter. It's too much information. I might do three quarters of a circle possibly, but not closing the circle.
Yeah. Just
too much information.
So too much information, and they don't need it.
Yeah, no, they definitely don't need it. So own process, beautiful. Can you lead us now?
Yes.
And actually, one of the things I'd like to add to the laser, for me, the difference with the laser touch, when I do the laser, I do this tiniest circle and in, and I sometimes do this slight pulsing. And my visual, I've got my other fingers on here, but I'm just directing one finger. And it can be any of them, but it has to be one, because I'm really sending a signal like cell. I feel like I'm sending it into the cells to go to wherever it's supposed to be. So I imagine this, you know, this laser connection, which is different from the sponge, because with the sponge, I'm at the body, comes to a place that feels right, and then I come back out. So it's really much more directed. Fascinating, the small differences. So,
well, and it feels like the laser also feels like it activates light in the cells.
Good point. Yes, absolutely. And that's what it's meant to do specifically. Now, let's just do, we have 8 minutes, but let's do a face refresher, because this is one of the things that's so beautiful. We're going to have to be really clever for those of you who are on the phone, aren't we? So do you want to, why don't you guide it, Eleanor?
Well, I'm watching how you're doing it. I love it, because you're doing the little slide and the pull, right?
Well, right. And that, so what I'm doing, I'm putting, just to start with, on my chin, I'm putting my two thumbs on my chin, and my fingers are kind of together, but it's the two fingers of each hand to start with. The forefinger and the middle finger. So I'm actually, to give you an idea, I'm going to imagine these lines. I'm going to follow lines up the side of my jawline, up the front of my ear. And I was doing this morning and up into my hair. And it feels so good right on that line of the front of the ear. That's one line that I'm going to follow. Then I'm going to follow another one that starts from the chin again and comes up. See, I can't tell, like, it's just my feeling. Maybe it's not even an inch inside the other, is it? Mm-mm. To the inside. I take my glasses off.
You can't tell what?
Well, I can't tell how far it is. I'm just, is it an inch inside? And that the line, I'm just showing you, outlining first. I normally draw this. So I come up between my eye and my ear, outline straight up to the hairline. Okay, then this is where we're going to go. I'm just telling you where we're going to go. Now we come up from the chin. Again, we start from the chin. And I'm going to come up toward the, between the middle of my mouth and the right side, up there. No. So up along the side of the nose, that's where I'm going to take the circle, and up, carefully above the eye and to the hairline. So I'm just going to, because it's easier for me and for those of you on the phone, I think we'll just do three lines. Now, this is the idea. There are two ways to do it. One way, I hold with my left hand, my right fingers, thumb underneath the chin, thumb holding, and two fingers doing a circle, and I can do a little slide. Like, I don't know, how far is that? Is that a half inch slide? I can't tell.
Looks like an inch.
Now, some people don't like the slide. So you can do your circle and a quarter and a, just a little pressure in. Then a really light slide to the next spot. And when I move my right hand up to the next spot along the jawline, because I'm going to follow that outline of the jaw, I move my left hand up there too. So my left fingers stabilize the skin, and my right fingers or hand is going to do a circle and a quarter, and I'm going to stretch the skin and do a little slide because that's what my skin likes. But not everybody likes that. And some people like just with the fingers circle and a quarter and a nice little hello, like a little sponge in, or whatever that feels to you. Now slide the left hand up again, because we're moving up, up, up. And now I slide my right hand up, circle and a quarter. I'm going to do my little slide. It's like a face refresher. Okay, now I'm going to move my left hand up again and circle and a quarter on the front of the ear. Slide up, and then move on up again. My left hand is going to stabilize and circle and a quarter, and a little slide up into the hairline. What we found is that the young faces didn't like the slide. The little more senior faces, a little more slack, liked the slide. So I'm really interested to know what you like. So let's just go on up. And now I did it more firmly. Let's just do a nice little hello, just a little circle and a touch up there, whatever you like. Let's go much lighter now. And I go back to my chin again. This time I'm going to like stretch my lips and do a little slide up to the lips. Jump over to the top lip with my left hand, my supporting hand, and go up. Up the side of my nose. Gently under the eyes, very gently. Now we just go to the eyebrow, and then I love this on my forehead. Into the hairline. Now I want to go up my nose, the bridge of my nose, with this little circle and a slide. Oh, my goodness. And if you have a chance to look in the mirror, it's always really interesting to look at the two sides. Oh, I don't want to leave you like this. Anybody have, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's do a little feedback on that feeling and the two sides now.
Are you asking if anyone has questions?
Yes, right. No, feeling, if anyone has sharing.
Oh, I forgot Unicorn.
It's Chanel.
Chanel,
I'm from Kamloops. And I felt so amazing when I did that. It was like a huge serotonin drop. Like, I just wanted to fall asleep. It felt so good. Thank you.
Beautiful, thank you.
So Chanel, you're very young. Did you like?
I'm not young. I'm 45.
No, you're not. You're 25. I can tell.
Thank you.
Did the pull feel good? The slide?
It did. Yeah, it felt like it was just lifting me up. Like the it's like a serotonin, like a connection to the creator. like a direct connection to the creator. Like it felt so good, just like within myself.
Beautiful.
Extremely relaxing feeling, like.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see Janice's hand up.
You see Janice's hand. Okay, let me look for Janice. Raise your hand up, Janice. I'm looking for you. Oh, there you are.
Hi. I felt like after I finished, it's like I wanted to do a Noah's March. It's just
connect. Oh, nice idea. Yeah.
Up, you know, just yeah. Going up.
Bring and it all together.
Yeah, it felt complete then. I guess nice. That's the word I'm trying to look for.
Yeah. Yeah. And we only did one side. Some of you, I'm sure, in this break we're about to take will want to do the other side. I certainly do. Yeah. just before we break, Marion, do I see you lying down? Marion Shearer?
Hmm. Trying to unmute her. Hold on, Marion, just one sec. There we go. It's not unmuting.
I can't get you unmuted.
Marion, can you unmute yourself?
She's trying.
Oh, maybe if we're... Okay, so let me try to do it. Don't do it yourself. Let me see if I can do it.
No, can't do it.
Wow, super interesting.
Okay, well, during the break, I'll give you a call.
Okay.
So, is there one more sharing of this that we would like to do?
Oh, she's unmuted. She's unmuted. Marion?
Yeah.
There. So Linda, you wanted to ask
her? No, it's okay. No, I will call her. I just wanted to make sure she's okay. I will call you. And I'm just somebody from iPhone, I bumped my forehead on a
I bumped my forehead on a pointed object and it really created a very tender lump. I did T-touch immediately and the discomfort and swelling went down substantially.
Yes.
Now, Karen would like to know, because she said she does do circle and a quarter on premature babies and that it works really well. And she would like to know why we feel to not do circle and a quarter on newborns or preemies.
I think that you have to do whatever your intuition tells you, because she's doing them on preemies, which are not formed to the normal place that they would be. That's totally my intuition, Karen, is that it's enough information, but you're dealing with something they need a lot more. So it's, you know what? I believe that we will be guided to do, and we know from the outcome of how they are, what changes. So that's an intuitive thing that, you know, we all have these forms of using it and we all know it all works. And Karen was working on groups of premature babies. I mean, tiny babies in your hand, you know, in the hospital. So thank you so much. Thank you for reminding us. They're all forms of these and they all work. Follow your feeling about it.
Can I share something really quick that's pretty fascinating?
Yeah.
I hit my head pretty hard the other day, and as I was sitting here and doing my right side, I actually started to feel nauseous, lightened up, changed how I was doing it, felt better. When we finished doing the half, this whole half of my head felt much better, and this side still felt sort of, it was I've never felt such a distinction before. And so I'm starting to do the other side and it's clearing up. It's pretty remarkable, actually, the change.
Beautiful. I'm so glad we got this face refresher. And Eleanor, I want to thank you for that inspiring and incredibly informative, inspiring talk that we heard, information. We're going to be hearing more about this in, Eleanor will bring this in to the Facebook and then some of this onto the membership site where you can read it more in terms of this new studies that have been done now on the scar tissue and so forth that you were talking about, Eleanor. Thank you. Enjoy your 10 minutes, right?
So we'll come back at 15 after the hour.